Welcome to the All Things Nintendo podcast. My name is Brian Shea, and I'm senior editor at Game Informer. This is a weekly show meant to be a place to discuss the biggest Nintendo news and games, plus celebrate Nintendo's history, as well as our own personal histories with the company. If you're new here, thanks so much for seeing what this show is all about. If you like what you hear, I'd love it if you hit that subscribe button and left a five-star review wherever you get your podcast. That helps the show grow more than most people realize. Unfortunately, I'm out on assignment this week and won't be back until after the episodes typically go live, so rather than skip a week, I'm recording this on the Monday of this week. That means we won't cover the news that we typically get to, and I'm sorry about that, but if anything worth chatting about did hit while I was away, I'll lump it into next week's show to make it up to you. However, there's still plenty to talk about this week, as the second most popular game in the lifespan of the Switch, if you listened to last week's episode, Animal Crossing New Horizons received not one, but two huge updates. And I can't think of a better person to dig into that with than Game Informer's own production director, and maybe the most diehard Animal Crossing fan I know, Margaret Andrews. Margaret, how are you doing today?
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great. Well, I'm doing better after this weekend of Animal Crossing.
I know. I can tell that you have been playing your butt off in Animal Crossing, revisiting your island. And honestly, the reason I wanted to have you on this episode was purely to hear you geek out about Animal Crossing, because I know you can do that. And we'll get into that later. But first, before we jump into the Animal Crossing goodness, we have a longstanding tradition for first-time guests, and is first Nintendo game, favorite Nintendo game. So, Margaret, just so our listeners can get to know you a little bit better, can you tell us what was the game that made you a Nintendo fan?
It was the very first Mario game, Super Mario Brothers, the original for NES.
So, like, how did you get exposed to it? Was that at a friend's house? Was it at a family member's?
Oh yeah. For some reason, my family adopted it really late, so it was this series of adventuring to classmates' houses where they had Nintendos and just absolutely losing my mind going from my family had an Apple IIe computer, so going from basically Pong to Super Mario Brothers just absolutely broke my brain. I was like, this is the most unbelievable thing in the whole world. It was amazing. So I sort of lived for going to friends' houses. It seemed like every time I went to somebody's house, they had unlocked a new level, and I was like, there's a dust level? Are you kidding me? This is amazing. Like, I had never seen anything like it.
Yeah, and Super Mario Brothers, I mean, we talk about it all the time, but it truly was revolutionary for its era. Like you said, like the jump from something like Pong or something you'd see on one of the Atari consoles a couple years prior. And then going to this, where you have like a big colorful world with a prominent sprite that moved across the world, and you battled enemies, you got power-ups that caused like visual changes to characters. That was such a groundbreaking thing at the time.
Yeah, and not to be super cliche about it, but it was sort of like an RPG at the time. I mean, it was like going from something that was on a green screen, on a computer, just like moving a cursor up and down, to you get to be Mario and you get to be this character and jump around the world. I was so invested in making him have a big adventure that really changed everything for me.
Absolutely. And I mean, without that game, where would anybody be right now in terms of like the games industry?
I would probably be working in some other industry for sure.
So as you branched out from Super Mario Brothers, when that like kind of exploded your mind, and then your mind kind of came to adapt to what that game brought, like, what did the rest of the NES catalog do for you?
Catalog do for me? That's a good question. Do you just mean like in general?
Yeah, like how did it continue to like impress you or kind of adapt your expectations of what a video game could be?
Yeah,
like, Mario was kind of like a role-playing game for you when you first approached it. But then, you know, there were other games like Final Fantasy and The Legend of Zelda, which were, you know, very much like RPGs, not only on NES, but then Super NES.
Yeah, I played, I somehow missed The Adventure of Zelda, but I did play Link, the second one.
Oh, so you missed the original Legend of Zelda, but you found The Adventure of Link.
Correct.
So Legend of Zelda 2.
And I am almost 100% certain if my brother were here, he would say it's because he rented it at Blockbuster and brought it home for a weekend. And I was like, are you kidding? I can actually have a big adventure. I mean, it was like open world as opposed to, you know, side-scrolling, sometimes timed levels. It was this sort of open world adventure and you could just solve puzzles. And that was amazing. But like I said, my family was kind of a late adopter, so we skipped the SNES. And I remember my sister getting Mario Kart on the SNES. And that was like the next one that blew my mind, where I was like, wow, I'm like real time racing against these people next to me. And it's 3D and the graphics are amazing. And that was probably the next game that really blew my mind.
That makes sense, because that the SNES had a lot of, like, I think a lot of the Mode 7 technology stuff made it so that it had a lot of 3D animations and like effects, despite being fundamentally a 2D system. We didn't really get true 3D until the N64 came out, but the SNES still gave us things like Star Fox and Mario Kart, as you'd mentioned, and F-Zero. So there was a lot of really cool stuff on the SNES that took advantage of stuff that probably shouldn't have existed at that point, as far as like where we were at technologically.
Absolutely.
So that kind of brings us to the second part of this segment, which is, what is your favorite Nintendo game of all time?
Oh no, I wasn't prepared to answer this. My favorite Nintendo game of all time, it's got to be, I mean, I absolutely, some of this has got to be nostalgia, but probably Super Mario Brothers 3. And that was, and it's got to be because the hype machine for that game, I don't remember ever being hyped for a game until that one. And I remember being in school and all my classmates were excited for it. And some of the kids got it on day one. And that was just so exciting. And then when I got to play it, it was like, oh my God, you could fly. I mean, the jump in technology and abilities and everything. I was really excited for that one. It really delivered. And I don't know that I would go back and play it now or very often, but...
Oh, I would. I went back and played it earlier this year.
Oh, how was it?
It's super fun still. It's awesome. One of the greatest platformers of all time. Because this was also, I believe, Kim Wallace's pick for favorite Nintendo game.
Well, that's why Kim and I are friends.
And I've always... have been a Super Mario World fan over Mario 3. But Mario 3, as I mentioned on the episode Kim was on, Mario 3 is the only platformer that I will accept as like an argument against Mario World as the greatest platformer of all time. Like Mario 3 is just so good. It was revolutionary going from Mario 1 and Mario 2, either version of Mario 2, Japanese or North American. And then into Mario 3 was just like such a leap. It really was just a huge jump in terms of like what the game's accomplished.
And you know, I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday, but if you'd plop me down in front of Super Mario Bros. 3, I bet I would remember every single secret hidden block, every secret trick to that game. It's just like, it's all in my brain. That game was really something.
Absolutely was. And like I said, still great to play to this day. So if you haven't experienced Super Mario Bros. 3 for some reason, and you have a Switch with an online subscription, I highly, highly, highly recommend checking out either the NES version in the classic NES catalog, or the Super NES version, which is in Mario All-Stars as part of the SNES catalog for Nintendo Switch online subscribers. Either one of those is great. I think it's probably going to be based on how nostalgic you want to feel, or if you've never played it before, I guess you're not going to feel nostalgic at all. So just play whichever one you want to play.
Have your fun.
As I mentioned at the top of the show, we'll be skipping the quick hit news segment this episode. So we're just going to dive right into Animal Crossing New Horizons.
Thank goodness.
Major updates. I know my listeners are probably thinking the same thing. I don't know how people like the quick hit news thing. If you do have an opinion on that, let me know. We'll get into how you can get in touch with the episode later on. Get in touch with the podcast later on this episode. So Margaret, during last month's Animal Crossing stream, Nintendo announced a massive 2.0 update that's free to all players and adds a bunch of cool quality of life improvements, plus some other fun stuff you can do. But before we jump into this update, when I introduced you as maybe the most diehard Animal Crossing fan I know, I wasn't joking. So I want to kind of dig bit into, like, when did you start playing Animal Crossing? When did you discover this series? And, like, how did it impact you when you first picked up a controller with it?
It was my 3DS. Or just my DS, I guess. It was Wild World was my first Animal Crossing. And like everybody, I just instantly fell in love with how cute it is. It's adorable, and you get rewarded for investing time and energy into your little animal friends, and then they just kept, you know, expanding on it. They brought out, was it City Folk was the one I played after that, and I was like, oh my god, there's Lolly. I love her. Maybe she remembers me from Wild World, you know what I mean? It absolutely pulls on the nostalgia of each previous game, and all the things that are, you know, if you were to set out a little trap to try to capture a Margaret, it would be all of the things that are in Animal Crossing. I love it. It's adorable.
And I mean, I think you even got into Pocket Camp, which is the mobile version, right?
I did. Yeah, I got into Pocket Camp for a little while. Basically until they started adding all the microtransaction stuff. So if they're like, you have to grind for 200 hours to get this one exclusive item, I'm like, okay, you know, here we go. I'll roll up my sleeves. But as soon as they're like, oh, but also we're going to let you pay for it, I was like, oh no, I think I'm done now. So I played a lot of Pocket Camp. A lot of other people in the office were playing Pocket Camp, so we were regularly visiting each other's little campsites and having a big time.
And you're such a fan of this series, and it ever since I've known you, it's been like one of your all-time favorite series. Do you remember exactly where you were when Animal Crossing New Horizons was announced?
I was at work. Yeah, I was at work. And I'm trying to remember sometimes behind the scenes, I'm helping the staff with like grab pictures for the website or something. And I'm pretty sure I was watching the live stream like everybody else and grabbing pictures and trying not to lose my mind, but also like, I need to do my job and get the pictures, but sort of also losing my head and being excited like every other Animal Crossing fan.
So as we got closer to launch, is it even possible to put into perspective your hype level for New Horizons as like we were getting like, it was like right on the horizon, lack of a better word there?
It was cruel torture. I remember this was right before the pandemic happened. And I remember Jeff Cork and Joe Juba were both playing it for review. And I was trying to be very cool about it, where I was not bugging them. I wasn't walking by their desks 100 times a day, but I absolutely was probably being a total creep where I would walk by Joe Juba's desk and kind of peek over his shoulder and be like, hey, how's it going? You want to go get some coffee? Just like playing it very cool. But secretly, I was just like, tell me everything you know. And I was desperate to see the game. And to their credit, they were both very cool about it. And like you're going to enjoy this more if you wait until the game comes out and get to play it like a true fan, like everybody else.
And that's an interesting like time and place thing that you just mentioned, where we were still in the office when Jeff and Joe were playing it in the lead up to review. And of course, the pandemic hit right before New Horizons launched. And yeah. I think as such, New Horizons will forever be linked with the pandemic, but in a very, very positive way, because I think it provided many of us like a much needed refuge from like the onslaught of negativity that was in the world just as the pandemic was hitting in March 2020.
Yeah, actually, the very first day that the staff at Game Informer was working from home was Friday, March 13th. And the reason I remember that is because that's the day that the special edition Animal Crossing Nintendo Switch came out. And it was my first day working at home, and I had pre-ordered it, and I had to go pick up the pre-order, and I got it home, and my Switch was broken straight out of the box, and I had to go exchange it. And they luckily had one left that somebody had not picked up, and they gave it to me. But it was, you know, I was like, I'm very busy today working on work stuff and trying not to look at my Switch, but I absolutely was geeking out over the special edition. It was very
cool. Is that still the Switch that you use?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, once you got the game out of the box and you had that Switch that was working and you were able to actually play Animal Crossing New Horizons, what were your initial impressions?
My initial impressions, it was everything I wanted it to be. And part of the magic of Animal Crossing, for sure, that launch was, it seemed like, you know, 90% of of my Switch friends were also playing Animal Crossing that night when it got released. I remember logging on and like you were on and everybody in the office was on, like, just, and like all my friends were on. Everybody, it seemed, was playing Animal Crossing that weekend. And we were all furiously sending texts to each other, like, which fruit did you get? And, you know, what's in your store? And I want to come visit and take pictures. I mean, it was this magic of the pandemic was hitting. We were getting to connect and be social and all be excited about it together.
And just for perspective, I'm just under 100 hours that I put into Animal Crossing New Horizons. Do you know how many hours you have put into this game?
Yes.
Would you like to share it? Sort of.
before this expansion came out, I checked, and I think I was at 740 hours. And I know. This is gonna be on record forever now. So add a few more hours for this last, you know, weekend, this long weekend of playing, and that's about how many hours I've played.
So in the lead up to this 2.0 release and Happy Home Paradise, which, as you mentioned, just came out at the tail end of last week, were you still playing the game regularly, or did you kind of have to jump back in and relearn everything?
I was infrequently playing the game. I fell off earlier this year just because I was playing other games. And just due to the lack of updates, obviously, like everybody else. But with one caveat, I had collected all the fossils, all the bugs. I'd collected everything except for one fish. And as any real Animal Crossing fan knows, there's this fish that you can catch through the end of March called a stringfish. And I missed it because of the pandemic, because I didn't realize that I had mere hours left to catch that fish. So I missed it. And so this year, it started getting close to this DLC update, and I was like, oh no, I don't have this fish. And I know the last time I logged on was in March, and if I fast forward time to be caught up and I don't have this fish, I just know it's going to bother me forever. So I think I was texting you. I probably spent like a good 3 or 4 days logging on religiously every night, just farming for this stupid fish so that I could leave March and join everybody else in the land of the living in November and play like everybody else. And I did. I got it and was able to fast forward time, and I'm all in the clear now. Caught up.
Yeah. And there are two kinds of Animal Crossing players. There are time travelers and people who just play the way the game, like the way the clock dictates. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You are definitely a time traveler. I remember going to your island like in like the second week of the game being out, and you had something that is better than my island is to this day.
Yeah, I you know, we each have our fun in our own ways, and I put in my time, obviously, my 750 hours of grind time to make my island amazing. And then guess what? They released, I think I saw somewhere on the internet say, there are over 9,000 items in this DLC, this free update, which blew my mind. And after playing this weekend, I could see that. I'm going to be playing this game for a long time, trying to collect all the new things. There are so many.
And I mean, it's a free update, which is incredible. At least the first part of it is.
Yeah.
And one of the big things in this free update is something that you and I actually bond over in real life, which is coffee.
Coffee.
So we're real life coffee buddies. Like, that's how I actually got into coffee, was you asking me to go down to the coffee shop that was by the Game Informer office.
Yeah.
And I would reluctantly go down, and then I would start off getting the sweetest thing on the menu, and now I've slowly transitioned to not having as much sweetness in my coffee over the last year or two.
I think you drink more coffee than I do now, to be honest.
Oh my god, it's become a problem. Like, I have a coffee corner in my house, and I still go
just like an Animal Crossing, a little coffee nook.
Yeah, and I actually went to the coffee shop by the Game Informer office yesterday and played Animal Crossing in it. And it's funny because I actually, it's re-entering the mainstream consciousness, because there was a woman in there who was with like her family, and somebody was like, oh, what are you going to be doing this? Or what are you doing the rest of the day? And she's like, oh, I have to go do some stuff on my Animal Crossing island. And I was like, what? And I'm just like sitting there doing stuff on my Animal Crossing island with my Switch, which, by the way, I know this is like such a no-brainer thing for a Nintendo podcast, but the Switch is such a game changer, being able to just bring it anywhere and keep playing. But yeah, so New Horizons 2.0 lets you build the Roost coffee shop in Blathers Museum. And you and I actually sat down and had a virtual cup of coffee last night.
You know, you came by my island last night. You were getting the little tour and you went inside the museum. And I was just like, I'm going to hang out outside. And I had some inventory stuff to look through. And then a couple minutes later, you texted me and you're like, I'm inside having coffee. And I was like, well, of course you are, because that's what we always do. And I felt really dumb. So I ran in and joined you for a cup of coffee at the Roost. And it was great. It was super delightful and lovely.
And you picked up the tab, which was very considerate of you.
Well, it is like my island. I'm happy to do it.
400 bells, I think.
Yeah, 400 for two people. Yep.
Which, how many bells do you have? It's got to be like in the tens of millions, right?
I'm somewhere around 30 million bells.
Oh my gosh. I think I have like 2 million bells, but I still owe Tom Nook a whole lot of money. But another big update in this, and also before we move off from the Roost, you can also invite other villagers to the Roost, like using amiibos and stuff, which is kind of cool. So you can sit down and have a cup of coffee with one of your favorite villagers.
You can. I have a nice stack of amiibo cards. I'm looking forward to inviting a few old favorites. I think I've got Apollo in there, and he's a lovely little grump, so I'm going to invite him out for a coffee. I have been wondering too. I've got amiibo statues for a few NPCs, and I wonder if they would join me as well. I haven't tested that yet, but that non-villager NPCs is my goal this week. I want to see if I can go have a coffee with Tom Nook if I wanted to.
I think you can. I think they did show you can have coffee with Isabel, so I would imagine that might work with Tom Nook. I do have a Tom Nook amiibo card, so I might try that as well.
Adorable.
So one of the other big updates in the 2.0 free component is Cap'n, who is a frog that takes you to different islands, like a randomized island, and then as you're in the boat, he'll actually serenade you, which is adorable, although I wish you could skip it sometimes.
You can.
Okay, so I've only done it once, and I was like, this is taking forever. Like, he's just singing, and I'm sitting in a coffee shop. Like, I have it on mute, admittedly, because I don't want to have him serenade the entire coffee shop.
The sea shanties are a classic, Brian. You have to endure them.
They are terrific. So, unfortunately, you can only go on one per day, which is a little bit of a bummer, because there was nothing really remarkable on the one island I was taken to. But it is kind of cool that they can be different seasons, different times of day. How many of these expeditions have you gone on?
I've been on probably about half a dozen, five or six.
Oh yeah, because you time travel.
Because I time travel. They're expensive. It's 1,000 Nook Miles tickets to go on one of these adventures. And there are items you can grab on them, like vines, cliff vines, which are really cool. You can't get those on regular islands. So you can grab those. There are sometimes things like rocks that spit out star fragments. You can get lucky and get one of those instead of bells or iron, for example. And also I have not personally experienced this, but I've read that they also can do seasons. So even though it's autumn where we are, it's possible that we'll travel to an island where it's springtime and you can collect cherry blossom petals and stuff like that.
Mm. And you can also go to Harv's Island, which has a whole bunch of updates, right?
Oh man. Harv's Island truly is the game changer in this DLC. It's really incredible.
So for those who forget who Harv is, he's the photographer that you could go and get pictures taken. But now it's like a whole village when you go there.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically a giant campsite, and you see a lot of the traveling merchants that come to your island hanging out there, that you can give them little, basically little campsites. So Kix is there, Leaf is there, Savannah is there, all your favorites are there.
And you can get your hair cut in different hairstyles as well. So I guess they added 11 hairstyles. I have not gone to Harv's Island, unfortunately. There's a fortune teller. There's a custom furniture shop.
And the you can, custom, oh my gosh, yes.
To build all this stuff, you can contribute bells to help like make it so that these places get built. But yeah, it just seems like a whole mess of a new area for everyone to kind of jump in and have some new fun.
It's a game changer, honestly. One of the biggest ones is Reese and Cyrus. And where previously you had to travel to other islands to get variant colors of furniture items or decoration items. Like, for example, if you go get the lighthouse with your Nook Miles tickets, you either get the brown one or the blue and white striped one or the yellow. Like, you get what you get, basically. And if you want a different color, you have to know somebody who has the color that you want. And with this expansion, you can go to Reese and Cyrus and pay them to customize your lighthouse to the color that you want, which is huge. So now everybody can craft the island of their dreams without having to have a mountain of friends who hopefully are online and willing to share the colors of the things that you want.
And going back to your own island, there are a whole bunch of other things you can do. Like, some of the stuff is small, like being able to walk sideways through like cramped areas.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the big stuff is like enacting ordinances. So you can go talk to Isabel and she'll enact an ordinance that you want to put on your island. So, for example, I put one in where the villagers need to start carrying their own weight and cleaning up weeds around the island. I mean, they've been living for free for a pretty long time now, so it's time they started doing some work around the island. Did you do any of the ordinances?
Absolutely. I'm an early riser. And you know, like I'm sort of Daddy Warbucks. I have enough money. I'm not super worried about getting the most from my money. So it made sense for me to, and I did the early morning ordinance, because I can log on at 7 a.m. and my stores are open, and I love that.
And there is one that's something about bells. What does that one do?
You earn more bells when you're selling items, but also things cost more when you're buying them. But if you're trying to make a lot of money, like if you're farming for fruit and things, you'll just make more money as you're selling stuff.
Got it. Okay. So it seems like I think I chose the right one, because I started cleaning up around my island because, full disclosure, this is the first time in I think a year and 5 months, as my villagers reminded me, or year and 5 weeks, something like that. It was more than a year, though. And all the villagers were very, very surprised to see that I was still alive. and they made it known. They made it known that it's been a while since they've seen me. But yeah, so I had a lot of weeds growing everywhere, obviously. So they're gonna have to help out with that now. But you can also, yeah, you can add new bridges, more inclines. There's different types of furniture you can buy with Nook Miles. You can get a decorating license, which lets you do lighting and accent walls and shelving units and more design options. You can do new exteriors for your house and also upgrade your house's storage.
Oh, yes. Thank goodness. Yes.
But when I went to go do that, Tom Nook said that I needed to pay off my last home loan, which I just assumed I was never going to do. So I just was like, yeah, sure, I'll take the loan, whatever. You're not going to do anything if I don't pay it off. I have an axe. And it might be a while before I actually get to the storage expansion because of that. Because not only do I have to pay off the home loan, which is the final one, which is going to cost me a lot, but also he says you have to pay up front for the storage expansion.
You do.
So,
yeah. And they're pretty pricey. I'm trying to remember what the first one goes for, maybe 600,000. And then the final one goes for, I think, 1.2 million.
And I guess the final one gets you 5,000 slots?
5,200, I think, is the final
Okay,
count.
So just over 500.
Just 5, over 5,000, yeah, something like
That's
that.
That's pretty significant, because I think right now I'm at 1,600, I think is what I was when I checked last night. But yeah, it's going to be a while for that. But another cool thing that this one adds is cooking.
Oh, yes.
So I don't have any ingredients, nor do I have like a functioning kitchen on my island, but you definitely do. I went to your house last night in Animal Crossing, and you definitely have a nice kitchen. It's also looks like it's haunted, but we'll get into that later. Have you done any of the cooking? Have you experimented with this at all?
A little bit. You know, probably like for a lot of other people, I logged in and I was really excited to do some cooking, and it was immediately told me I needed some flour and sugar, which I didn't have. And I think my first seeds were for carrots and potatoes. So I was like, oh no. That's really basic. But then I went fishing and I caught a fish, and they taught me how to make a fish pie out of that fish that I caught. And I was really surprised. I didn't realize that that was going to be part of the update. So I've been slowly accumulating recipes all weekend just by catching fish. And now when you walk around and talk to your villagers and say hi, instead of going to a villager and them always just having a furniture item, which they do, but they also are often cooking when you go say hello to them, and they'll teach you new recipes. And that's been really delightful.
That's awesome. I have not encountered the recipes yet, but I know you can also get invited to residents' homes now as well, which is kind of cool.
And they can come to your house, too.
Oh,
so yeah. So I think that first day that I logged on, I was hanging out at my house and doing what we were just talking about, cooking. I was making apple jelly or something with apples, and Raymond came by to visit my house, and we had a big visit. He just came and he looked at all of my things. He wanted a full tour. So I gave him that, but it's really delightful having, animals will just swing by your house unannounced now, which is adorable.
And your house is worth swinging by. Like, you have everything. You have a Matrix room. You have a haunted kitchen.
It's like that Saturday Night Live skit with Stefan where he's like, this house has it all. It has everything. I do. I have a server room. I have a server room. I have a bank vault where I keep all my valuables behind bars. Obviously, yes. Got to keep everything secure.
I was trying to find a way to get in there, but there doesn't appear to be one.
No, I locked that down. And there are security cameras everywhere keeping an eye on you. My house has it all. I'm currently in the process of turning my basement into, it's sort of like a cozy lounge. I've got portraits of all the villagers that have given me their portraits down there, but I'm trying to turn it into a gaming lounge. And I think there are some new items that I'm going to have to collect before I finish that transformation.
And you have just your island itself is extravagant, I think is the best way to put it. You have waterfalls everywhere. You have hidden nooks and crannies. Sorry for the wordplay there. Just everywhere you look, there's something cool to find. Like, I thought I had seen it all. You were giving me a tour last night. And then you're like, I have a few more things to show you. And it's like, what? There was like a floating moon.
My island has it all. Honestly, my island has very sort of, forest witch vibes.
It does.
Lots of black flowers and floating moons and things like that. But I tried to like give my island a lot of moments, which is probably what you're getting at, where at every twist and turn, I was like, oh, here's a little nook with some bookcases and some cozy chairs for reading. And here's a little spot for having beach cocktails. And here's a little spot. So I tried to do that where I just was approaching all of these areas on my island to build out cute little moments.
And all this stuff that we've talked about to this point is included in the free update that every player gets. You don't have to worry about paying any extra money for any of this stuff. So that's a really cool thing. It's the 2.0 update. So if you haven't already played this, or like it's not showing up in yours, just go to the Switch menu for your Animal Crossing game and then hit download the latest update via the internet. And that will get you all this stuff for free. And this came out last Thursday. And now we can talk about the paid stuff. So there was an expansion that launched a day later on Friday of last week called Happy Home Paradise. And basically you go around and you get a job on an island and you work as like a consultant, like a design consultant for random villagers that come by looking for a vacation home. and you plot out what island they belong on. You plot what kind of house they should have, and they tell you like some very, very minor requirements for what they want, and then you have free reign for the rest of it. So, for example, I built three houses for people. I had, or for animals, I guess. A quiet reading room was one of them. A mansion built for a Hollywood star.
Wow.
And a sports den, because one of the villagers wanted a place to watch the games. So how many of these have you done so far?
I've probably done about six, about a half dozen. And honestly, I was so busy with island update stuff that if you hadn't said, Margaret, let's meet on Monday to talk about Animal Crossing, I probably would have put it off a couple more days. Because I was like, okay, I need to like make a farm, and I need to start getting harvesting, you know, vegetables and getting things ready for my kitchen. but I took time out of all of that to go explore this expansion, which of course I got as a big fan. I had to get it. But I really did think that my interest in it was going to be at maybe a 5 out of 10. Because decorating is really fun. It's not really why I'm playing the game. I enjoy it. But I just, you know, I did not think that that was why I was going to be logging in to hang out at Happy Home Paradise until I played it. And it really did surprise me how much I enjoyed it. And then this morning before work, I logged on to play specifically Happy Home Paradise because it's really delightful and lovely. So I've done about 5 or 6 so far.
Okay. And so there was a game that came out in 2015 on 3DS called Happy Home Designer, which seems like this draws directly from, only it folds it into the infrastructure of Animal Crossing New Horizons. So that was almost like a spin-off game where, yeah, you basically did this same thing where you built houses or dream homes for different villagers, kind of playing into that designer fantasy that they're selling you with this, where it's just like, all right, here's what I want, and then you say, here's what you get. But it's not just giving people like a creative outlet. There's also a lot of benefits that you get. So you get like new design techniques as you build more homes, and then you can bring those back to your island. So like partition walls, differing heights for counters, support pillars, the ability to adjust lighting and add soundscapes. You can polish furniture, which I still don't understand exactly what that does aside from making things look sparkly. I think that's all it does.
Yeah, that's it. and I have to say, I think that's why I've been so excited about Happy Home Paradise is, if it really was its own silo of content, that would be fine. But like, oh no, there are exclusive decorating items that I want that I can get and bring back to my island. And I will grind for another 300 hours to get all of them if I have to. I got a big, giant wrought iron chandelier this morning that I was like, this is going to look amazing in my witchy, my haunted kitchen in my house. And they change out every day, so I'm gonna be busy with Happy Home Paradise. It's a delight. It's lovely.
And speaking of like the soundscapes that are in Happy Home Paradise, something that we did kind of skip over with the free update is gyroids. Have you had a chance to do anything with gyroids yet?
Yeah, I brought back. So on islands, you can, even on your own island, sometimes instead of digging up a fossil, you're gonna dig up a gyroid fragment, and the fragments you have to bury in water. It's sort of dramatic when you water them, a big puff of smoke comes out of the hole. And then the next day you can go and dig it up and it's a full blown gyroid. And I can remember, I think in, what was the last Animal Crossing before this one? I had New Leaf. I had an entire room of my museum. It was like you had these like rooms in the museum where you could just dump stuff if you wanted to. And I had a whole room that was just like all the gyroids that I was collecting and stacking up all over the place in that room. This one, I have a bunch. They've all gone straight into my inventory. I haven't decided what to do with them yet, but you can customize them. You can customize their colors and styles, and you know, they look about as diverse as they've been in previous Animal Crossing. So there are lots there are lots to show up and choose from.
And you can also like arrange those and make different like songs and stuff based on like whatever tone they give off, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So that's part of the free update, but there's also different like soundscapes to you can earn on this. I haven't gotten far enough, I think, to earn those in Happy Home Paradise, nor have I gotten far enough to get to the part where you design facilities. Have you gotten to that part yet?
You know, I did yesterday. I was tasked with creating, I think it was a facility, they wanted a classroom or something, but I had already been playing a while and I was like, I'll just do that tomorrow. I logged off. And then when I logged on this morning, that was the first thing I was going to do. And it was totally shut down to me again. So it must just be like a timed thing or whatever. So I wasn't able to do it today, but yeah, there are facilities that you can, so you're not just basically designing homes. You're able to design things that are more interesting or more elaborate with different kinds of footprints that seem really interesting.
So unfortunately, I haven't gotten to that part, as I mentioned, but I do remember from the stream that revealed this, you can build like schools, restaurants, hospitals, and you can actually design both the interior and exterior, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. You can also design the exteriors of the villagers on the islands too. So the first one or two is just the interior, but after that it kind of unlocks the outside. So you can start planting trees and you can customize the color and the style of the little vacation homes and stuff like that as well.
Yeah. For the guy who wanted the sports den, I actually built like a makeshift soccer field in his front yard. I don't have like a goal or anything like that. So I just put like bushes to mark like where the goal was.
Well, but, I fenced it in. That's adorable. I mean, it is very satisfying when I built a home this morning for somebody who was very into pottery and crafting, and I built a shelf where I put a couple of, you know, clay items, and he got a little heart above his head, and he was a very pleased client, which is more satisfying than it sounds. It really is delightful.
And you can also go back and visit past clients, and you can take pictures with them. And like that was kind of cool, was like setting up this house. Like I was actually really satisfied with how I set up the quiet reading room that I think it was Eloise that wanted it. And I set it up for her and she was having just a grand old time. And I was like super happy with the aesthetics of how I set it up and finding just the perfect angle, making it so you can choose what they're all doing in the picture. And it's nice to set up like an album of all your work that you've done. And then you can go back and talk to them afterwards and see how they're enjoying it. And I don't think they're probably going to be too negative ever, but I mean, that's what Animal Crossing is all about.
That's what it's all about. And it's a small thing that they included, but it has a big impact that after you've completed your design and you talk to your client, and they say, wow, thank you so much. They run this little cutscene that's like 6 or 7 moments of the villager walking up to the bookshelf and taking a book off and reading it and going to the table and sitting down and having a cup of tea. You know what I mean? Like basically the animal interacting with the designs that you gave them is it's a very lovely little cinematic treat.
And you can, if you want to design specifically for one animal, you can summon them with amiibos. Same thing with when you go to the roost and you want to call a specific character to the roost to have a cup of coffee with you. You can actually summon specific characters to build homes for them, which I've not tried yet, but that seems like something that I want to do. And I wonder if I can summon Tom Nook and kind of turn the tables on.
And turn the tables and build him a trash heap? Maybe. I didn't try the chocolates this weekend, but our coworker Kristen was furiously messaging me this weekend, asking if I had tried the chocolates, and I said no, I haven't tried the chocolates on the Happy Home Paradise Island yet. She said that she brought the chocolates back to her island, and when she gave them to her favorite villagers, she could invite them into Happy Home Paradise and then design little dream houses for them with all the unlocked items. So that's also on my to-do list this week, is I'm going to have to invite Eric and build him a little dream home and a few of my other favorites.
And from what I understand, you can also remodel your residents' homes. Am I reading that right? Like I maybe I'm thinking of the way that you can invite them to the house or to the islands, but that was something that they mentioned on the stream, was that you could remodel residents' homes, but maybe that's later on. Maybe that's just me misunderstanding the part where you can invite them with the chocolates, but.
You know, this makes me feel like a bad super fan, because I don't know the answer to that. It could be that that's the Happy Home Paradise bit, where you can invite them and build them sort of a dream house and make it anything you want to be. But I'm not aware of anything where on your island that you're able to completely like redecorate their actual homes on your island. But that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I just haven't found it yet, if it does.
Yeah, and like you said, you've only done about 6 houses so far. So maybe as you get deeper and deeper, you can unlock additional features in this expansion.
There's so much. I mean, I tried to do a little bit of everything before this morning, and there's still so much I haven't even touched yet. It's amazing how much content they've released with this DLC. It's a lot.
Is there anything else you want to touch on with either the 2.0 update or the Happy Home Paradise expansion that we haven't already talked about?
Yeah. This cannot be over, like, I went to Harv's Island. One of the first people that I set up was Red, because it really bugs me how sparse my museum art gallery is. So I was like, let's go. Let's get him on Harv's Island. I want to buy some legit art. And he has this little raffle box sitting at his table. And I was like, what is this? And he sort of snickers and he's like, you know, pull a raffle ticket for a big surprise. And then he laughs and I was like, all right, buddy, let's go. And the first thing I got was a donut. And I was like, are you kidding me? And basically, you know how your little villagers walk around holding items, like a little can of soda or a little ice cream cone or a little book that they're reading. You can get all of those things from that raffle box now and just walk around holding them. And it's really cute. I it's such a dumb thing, but for people who played a lot of Animal Crossing and were like, why can't we have ice cream cones and donuts? Well, now you can, and it's just as wonderful as you thought it would be.
Both the 2.0 update and the paid expansion Happy Home Paradise are out now. So if you are hearing all this stuff and you want to kind of get in on the action, the 2.0 update is free. The Happy Home Paradise expansion is $25, or it's included at no additional cost with the Nintendo Switch Online expansion pack. That also includes the Nintendo 64 and Genesis Classic libraries on top of the NES and SNES ones we mentioned earlier. So I think that's a pretty good overview of these two updates that Animal Crossing New Horizons got. But before we wrap up talking about Animal Crossing, Margaret, wanted to invite you to take part in Definitive Ranking, which is a recurring segment where we take in a Nintendo topic and give our personal top 5 lists. So last week I had Kim on and we talked Shin Megami Tensei and RPGs. Mm-hmm. So we ranked our favorite Nintendo RPGs.
Yeah.
This week, since I have GI's Animal Crossing guru, I wanted to hear your top 5 Animal Crossing villagers.
Okay. This is really hard because...
So go from 5 to 1, just
5 to 1.
Short little like 2-sentence description on each one.
Yeah. Okay. I'm putting Zucker at number 5. Because he is elusive. I still have not had him as as a little villager, and it really bothers me. He's adorable and a huge fan favorite. He's an adorable little octopus. So Zucker's number 5 because I can't have him. Number 4 probably is Marshall. He's a little white squirrel with attitude, and I respect that. So he gets number 4. Number 3, I'm going to put Eric. And he was introduced with New Horizons, and he's just super wholesome. He loves food. I love food. We have a lot in common.
He's a deer.
Yeah. He's just very, very sweet and wholesome. So he'll get number 3. Number 2, I'm giving to Raymond, who is also new. And I have to give props to Joe Juba. I spent a lot of Nook Miles tickets trying to find Raymond like everybody else was. And I couldn't find him. And then one day, Raymond literally just shows up at Joe Juba's island, unannounced, uninvited. And and he gave him to me because he knew he wasn't going to play. So Raymond is just as wonderful as everybody made him out to be. He's my number two. And my number one, I'm going with probably an unexpected. I don't even know that this villager makes a lot of people's lists, but Lolly. She's a cat who is very sweet and wholesome and just sort of wants to make everybody's day brighter. And I have a cat who is not at all like that. So I think Lolly's my number one. It's a personal choice.
And I assume, like, so these lists are either extremely overlapping or not at all overlapping. And I assumed that this week's list would not be overlapping at all, just because according to the Animal Crossing fandom wiki, there are 413 villagers in New Horizons.
Oh, yeah.
And I was right. There's no overlap whatsoever. Now, you are much more of a hardcore Animal Crossing fan than I am. I just started. I bought New Leaf when it came out on 3DS, and it didn't really grab me. I played a few hours. Wasn't really the biggest fan of it. But New Horizons just completely consumed my life for several months. And so I'm really going off of my personal experience with these characters. And I have one of them from your island that
you
I
met do?
Right, yeah. And you're going to be surprised about which one, I think. But we're going to start things off first with Tom, not Tom Nook.
It's Tom the cat.
Tom the cat, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's just a cranky little cat who always looks like he's up to something, and I kind of like
super
that.
Super cranky. I love that. I respect that.
And then number four for me is Goose, who is on my island. He's just he's a big, dumb chicken whose personality is I work out. And, you know, plus he's a chicken named Goose, which is kind of neat, I guess.
Was he one of your originals, like when you started your island, that he was there from day one?
He was either that or he joined shortly thereafter.
Okay.
Number three is Octavian, who I met on your island last night.
He's wonderful, isn't he?
He was kind of a jerk to me at first when
he
I first
talked
to him.
He is a jerk, yeah. I'm sensing a pattern here. Maybe I have a type, but he's his own octopus, and he's hilarious. I love
him. Immediately, I was like, that's my guy, when he was like a total jerk to me when I first talked to him. But I think he warmed up to me after I talked to him a couple more times.
And it's like he's so cute that he's almost resentful and upset about it, and you can't help but love how cute he is.
My number two is Eloise. So she's a cute little elephant who wanted me to build her that the pleasant reading area.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was just having a good old time reading some books in a quiet island getaway.
Yeah.
And then number one for me, probably a surprise to many people, but Al. So he was my first villager. And he was the first guy that I had joined my island. And he's just a big aloof gorilla who's always lazy, and he's a delight to encounter, and I've
what?
Enjoyed having him on my island.
I'm so surprised by your number one being Al. That's amazing.
I will
though.
Say that Apollo almost made my list, but then I cut him for Tom.
Apollo is for sure in my top 10. He's just wonderful.
I like Apollo. He's a majestic eagle who's also a bit of a cranky pants.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to the final segment here, Margaret, and it's the eShop gem of the week. And it started out as a way for me to share some of my favorite underrated gems on the eShop. But to be honest, my guests have loved talking about this segment and taking over it, basically, and adding their own little bonus entries. So I'm yielding to you whenever people have their own eShop gems of my guests, I always yield to them. So Margaret, do you have an eShop gem of the week?
Yeah, it took me some thinking, but my pick is Spiritfarer, and I think it's a good one to talk about, especially on the Animal Crossing show, because people who enjoy Animal Crossing, I think there's a lot to love about this game, a lot of overlap, in that you're making friends, you're grinding the sim part of the game where you have to grind and build things up and expand and craft. A lot of those there are a lot of those parallels between the two games. And I spent, I should go look. I spent a lot of hours playing Spiritfarer, basically, and I enjoyed the heck out of it.
It's a game that is very different from the developer's other games. So Thunder Lotus Games is the developer, and Spiritfarer is kind of like a pleasant, sentimental, like, you're running a ship that is taking spirits from the world of the living to the afterlife, correct?
Correct, yep.
And it's kind of a slower-paced simulation-style game where you're learning a lot about the characters, you're kind of falling in love with their story arcs.
Yeah, Spiritfarer is one of those games. I think Joe Juba is the one that reviewed it for Game Informer. He turned me on to it, and I think he gave it an 8, if I recall correctly. And they had a big, I don't know if it was like an expansion or a DLC earlier this year, but he texted me, and it got him back into the game, and he's like, you should play this again. All of this content is lovely and wonderful. Big personalities in all of the characters that you meet, lots of heart and soul. It's just a wonderful little game.
Well, I mean, I never really spent a ton of time in that game, but it always appealed to me, the concept of it. So I really want to check it out. And again, it's on the eShop. It's $30. Worth a look, it sounds like.
It's wonderful. Yeah, I recommend it.
All right. Well, I think that's a show, Margaret. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your very busy schedule to join me. I cannot overstate how busy Margaret is. So I'm very appreciative of her talking about Animal Crossing, which I know you don't mind that part of it, but taking time out of your day is definitely
thanks for having me.
A heavy ask.
I mean, you were like, can we talk about Animal Crossing like we do every day? And I was like, okay. How can I turn that down?
Thank you so much to everyone for listening. Again, if you like what ATN is bringing to the table, be sure to hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star review, and tell a friend or two. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, whether it's for feedback, topic suggestions, or just to say hi, you can email me at allthingsnintendo@gameinformer.com. You can also tweet me at Brian P. Shea or reach out on Instagram at that same name. If you suggest a fun topic or ask a thought-provoking question, maybe I'll read it on an upcoming episode. You can also hit up All Things Nintendo on the official Game Informer Discord server. If you want access to that, all you have to do is connect your Discord to your Twitch account and subscribe to the Game Informer Twitch channel for at least 1 month, and that'll grant you access. Margaret, where can people find you on social media?
They can find me on Twitter at SophieAva, SOPHEAVA.
Awesome. That is our show for this week. Thank you again for checking out All Things Nintendo. Take care, and we'll see you next week.